fire and the earth, and everything done in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? Since you know how this is all going to end, since you know the conclusion, since you know the final destination, how should you act? What should you say? What sort of person should you be? Your character and your integrity, your behavior and your actions. If you know this is where we're headed, if you know this is the promise of God, if you know that there is a new heaven and a new earth and that all is well that ends well, what kind of person should you be? What kind of life should you live? What should you be doing with your time and your money and your resources, with your efforts and with your passion? What kind of person should we be, knowing that this earth is passing away? What sort of behavior should we have, knowing that all will one day be made new? That God will redeem all of his good creation, and both heaven and earth will be redeemed, will be in his glory, will be put right, made good, the eternal. What sort of difference should that make? What sort of people should we be? Now, one of the prayers of the early church was the phrase Maranatha. Maranatha meaning, come Lord Jesus. You know, come set things right. Come make things good. Because life is still hard and life is still strange and people still suffer and they're sick and they die and this is not right. And we know that you have promised to come back. We know that you have promised to return in your glory and to make things right and to make things good. There's got to be a new heaven. There's got to be a new earth. So Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus, come. Make it right because it's so hard, please. And that's kind of balanced with what Peter is writing here, that the patience of the Lord needs salvation. That the call and the cry of the early church could be Maranatha, come Lord Jesus, come, but, well gosh, when he comes like that's it. You know, we're done. This life and all that we know, it is finished, it is complete. By the Lord not coming, he displays patience. And that patience is gracious. For the Lord to tarry, that is to wait, to linger, to not return just yet. There is patience being demonstrated by God. So think about that for a second. When Jesus returns, that is the culmination and the end of all things. You had your chance, you had your shot, and now it's done. We've had readings last week it was in Mark, and before as the liturgical year ended through Matthew, that there is judgment at the end. There are sheep and there are goats and there are some of the virgins who are wise and their lamps are burning and some of them are foolish and they are locked out, that there is a wedding feast, a wedding supper of the Lamb, and people who come in without a garment, and they lose their chance and they lose their opportunity. So with Christ not returning yet, there is opportunity still. There's opportunity still within this life to enjoy the blessings that he has given us. There's opportunities for us to love and to serve and to show that care and to offer those blessings to other people. There is opportunity still for others to repent and come home to Christ. When Jesus has patience, it offers to us time. It offers to us opportunity. It's like having yet another little chance every day. And we can look at the Advent wreath and we can see the two candles are lit. There's only two more left. And to be honest, this Advent, I mean, I'm just off. I'm off. You know, the quirk of the calendar means that the fourth Sunday of Advent, I hope you've all realized this, The fourth Sunday of Advent is also Christmas Eve. I mean, I'm all messed up with my days, and I'm all messed up with, you know, Christmas preparations and how we're working towards getting stuff done. I mean, I kind of want to have a sort of plan so I'm not way behind when Christmas gets too close, and, you know, I can't make my Amazon Prime shipping because it's too late. So, you know, you can see the candles like, oh boy, that's like halfway. But it's even further than that, because when that fourth candle is lit, it's the morning of the 24th, and we're going to light the Christ candle on Christmas Eve that same day. That, and we can even remember that the calendar is extra busy this year, or it's extra full, or it's at least in a weird spot. And we can think, whew, there's lots to do. But as I sort of mentioned this kind of a sort of eternal heavenly Advent wreath, where the candles lit, they don't count to Christmas, they point to his triumphant return. They point to his glorious return. They point to that end of things that is truly the beginning of all things. And we don't know how many candles there are. We can look here and we can think, it's getting kind of tight. But we have no idea. Is it tomorrow? Is it in 1,000 years? We don't know. We don't know. That's what I, when Isaiah says, or when Peter says, with the Lord, 1,000 years is like a day. And a day, it's like 1,000 years. God is not within this locked stream of time that we are, where the past is behind us and it's gone, and the future is unsettled and it's unknown, and we're just in the here and the now, and we can't know what's next. For God to tarry, to wait, it's a gift of patience. It's a gift of grace. It is a gift of love, whether it is a day or 1,000 years. It's a gift granted to us that we then have to do something with. So what are you going to do with it? What sort of people should we be? And Peter answers this. You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to this day. You know how this is all going to end. Therefore, live a life pleasing to God. Live a life that exudes holiness, that exudes righteousness, that looks like Jesus, that wants to conform your own life and your own will to be more like him. He says, make every effort to be found spotless and blameless and at peace with him. Well, this patience could mean salvation. The Lord waits. The Lord tarries. Another candle is lit and he is not back yet, but that is more time. More time to enjoy the blessings that already are here in life. More time to share those blessings, to care for others, to serve others, to love others as we have been loved by him. More time still that those who do not know him could come to the knowledge and love of him. The Lord's delay. It's not really delay. I don't know. I don't have this all worked out. I don't understand the plan. We can say, Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus, come, but at the same time, we're like, maybe not yet. Like, maybe just give me a little bit. You know that show's coming on tomorrow? It's on the DVD. We can't know the when, but we can know that it will. So what kind of difference does that make to us? What kind of difference should it make? What sort of people ought we to be? Desire his return, because things will finally be right. No more suffering, no more crying, no more tears, no more difficulty. We can look all around us, we can look inside of us, and we can see that things aren't right, that things need to be set right, things need to be healed, things need to be redeemed. Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus, come. New heaven, new earth. No more more sorrow, no more death, no more suffering, no more crying. And yet, with more candles lit, with time still to come, it's its own kind of gift. This gift of patience, this gift of grace. It's the using it part. How do we use it? How is that gift best received and then best enjoyed? Well, there is an old saying, and I'm quite fond of it. The Lord is rarely early, but he is never late. The Lord is rarely early, but he is never late. This schedule of a new heaven and a new earth, this schedule of Christ setting things right now and forever and ever and ever, amen, is happening on his schedule and not on mine. And our hearts can say, Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus, come. And they can also say, well, but give me a little more time because I'm kind of enjoying things right here now. But ultimately, the true hope and the true prayer is that your promise is going to be fulfilled, and it's going to be fulfilled in your good time. I don't really know. And if I guess, I'll be wrong. But what I can say and I can know is that you will keep your promise. What I can say and I can know is that all will be well. And all's well that ends well. Because I know how this is going to end. You've already told us. And we can take hope in that. We can take comfort. A comfort of softness and a comfort of strength. Even though this life is still hard and it's still difficult and people still suffer and people still die, we want things to be set right, but we also will receive your patience with us and with your world. And it will happen in your own time. 1,000 years is like a day, and a day is like 1,000 years. I know that I have had just one of those weeks where I can't, there's just too much almost. You know, I'm way behind. I feel like every time I try to accomplish one thing, three more pop up. For those of you who have seen all the construction stuff, still back there, those bathrooms, still not done. It's not that we haven't been working. We're working. We're working long. We're working hard. You know, you uncover one thing and you find seven more. But it's just been one of those weeks where there are so many things that are important or that I want to do or that I ought to do. And I'm trying to do all of them, and I'm not sure I'm really accomplished any of them. But it still keeps moving, and it still keeps going, and even though I feel so far behind, it's going to work out. It's going to work out. You know, all's well that ends well. And even with weeks like this, all of the frustration and all the difficulty and all of the crud we've had to dig out to redo those bathrooms, it's going to be worth it in the end. They are going to be nice, and they're going to be useful, and they're going to be helpful, you know, for people with you know, mobility issues, or the kids playing outside, and it's just going to, they're going to be good, and they're going to be nice. As I have declared, they will be bathrooms fit for a dean. And once they're done, all this trouble, it's going to seem far away. It's going to be very small. And the benefit of them, the good of them, that's going to last for a long time. And ultimately, it'll just seem worth it. It'll seem worth it. Though it seems very slow and very frustrating right now, it will seem worth it. And with Christmas, I feel like, you know, we just got our tree up last night. It's not decorated at all, but at least we got it in a stand. And, you know, I still don't have lights on the house. You know, I had this all planned out, and I'm going to do this then. And nothing has worked out. And, you know, the stress level starts to rise as the days grow shorter. And I keep thinking, what about this and what about that? And I really wanted to do it this way. And this was the year where I would be on time. And I'm not. But all's well that ends well. And Christmas Eve will come. And whether I have fulfilled all the plans that I have desired, whether I've set everything up in just the right way, or whether I've accomplished this or not, or gotten just the right gifts, or I haven't. You know, Christmas Eve is going to come. We're going to light that last candle. The lights will be off and we will sing Silent Night. The lights will come back on and we will sing Joy to the World. Christmas morning will come and it will be good. There will be joy. It will be a blessing, regardless of how prepared I am or am not, the things that I accomplished or I didn't, the ways that I was able to follow through or the ways that I've let somebody down. Christmas is still coming and it will arrive. It's like the Who's in Whoville. The Grinch takes all of their stuff, but come Christmas morning, he didn't actually stop Christmas. It's still there, and it's still filled with joy, and still filled with grace, and peace, and love. For it is the coming of Christ, and our own preparations, whether complete or not, it's not going to stop that. I'm the sort of person who struggles when I start, a book, whether or not I want to read the end first. And I'll tell you why. It's not that I want to spoil anything, but I don't have a lot of free time. And I get kind of emotionally invested in some of these. And I want to make sure it's worth my while. Right? So it's a rotten feeling, especially in a book, something you've really kind of connected to. And when they end bad, like it just sort of flops at the end. Have you done that? Have you read a book and you got all the way? It just makes you mad. You've seen a movie maybe, and you get all the way to the end of it. You've become, you're kind of emotionally invested in the plot and the characters, and the end is just awful. And they just completely drop the ball, and you're mad. If I had known, I never would have started. I don't want to spend all this time, I don't want to spend all this effort or energy or passion, and it just kind of flops in the end. Are you kidding me? I don't have that kind of luxury, and so I kind of want to know what's worthwhile. I don't want to spoil it, but I want to know what's worthwhile, and so, you know, there's this kind of dynamic that I want to know, but I don't, but I do. There will be a new heaven and a new earth. And the promises of God will be fulfilled. And we know what our final destination is. We know how it will end. We know how it will all come together. We know how we in God's world will be redeemed and made new. All's well that ends well. It's the message of John the Baptist that every valley will be raised up. Every mountain will be brought low. The crooked paths will be made straight. The rough places will be made smooth. He is pointing to Jesus. And he's reminding us that in order to get there, there still might be valleys. Spots that are very low and very deep and so dark we might not think there's any light left. And there are going to be mountains in our way that look unclimbable, that look like we could never possibly get past them or over them or to the top of them. And there will be crooked paths in life where we twist and we turn and we think we're going this way and suddenly we're going that way and we're afraid if we hit that curve just a little too fast, we might even spin out of control. And there are rough spots and there are potholes and there are ditches and there are rocks to trip over and stub our toes and to fall flat on our face and skin our knees and our hands, and that's going to keep happening. But he's pointing to the end to say that through Christ, those valleys that are so low and deep and dark, they will be raised up. And those mountains that seem impassable they will be brought low. And even the crooked paths that they twist and they turn and they get us lost and confused, they will be made straight. And the rough places where we trip and fall, they will be made plain, they will be made smooth, and there will be a new heaven, there will be a new earth. All is well that ends well. And we can look back and we can say, that crooked path did not lose me. And that mountain did not stop me. And that valley did not bury me. For the Lord has brought me through. And all's well that ends well. I can look at my own life and I can know, even amidst the difficulties, even amidst the hardships and the sadness and the failures, the way that I screw things up or I let you down, that's not the end, and all is well that ends well. It will end with a new heaven and a new earth. It will end with the valleys raised up and the mountains brought low and the crooked paths made straight and the rough places made smooth and made plain. It will end with God's promise being fulfilled. How then should I act? If I know it's going to happen, how then should I act? Maybe not freaking out that mountain is impassable. Maybe not giving into despair when that valley seems so deep. Maybe not assuming that crooked path is going to get me so lost and so twisted and so turned that not even God himself could find me. Maybe not worrying so much about tripping and falling over the rough places or even skinning my knee or skinning my hands, because that's not the end of the story. But the valleys will be raised up, the mountains will be brought down, the crooked places made straight, the rough places made smooth and made plain, a new heaven, a new earth. It's like whether I'm prepared for Christmas or not, it's still going to come. And when it comes, there will be joy. And it will be right. And it will be good. The coming of Christ, we don't know when. It's like a new candle being lit every day. Don't know how many more still to go. But it's kind of like this one, where we can know that the time, at the very least, grows shorter. Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus, come, or tarry and be patient for the sake of salvation. Whichever it is, through God's good will, his promise is going to be kept. What should that mean to us here and now? How ought we to live? Maybe as though these obstacles are not the end. Maybe as though the mountains and the valleys and the crooked places and the plains are not all that there is. But it's like reading the end of the book. It's like knowing the end of the movie. Tell me you've seen a movie and tell me you've read a book that in the end it is just so perfectly satisfying. You've made this long journey and the characters mean something to you and the plot and the twists and the turns and the ups and the downs and the conflicts and everything else, but it gets to the end and it's just like, oh. And it's just good, and it's right, and it is satisfying, and if anything, you almost wish it could last a little longer. I hope you've had that experience. I hope you've read a book that's good enough, you've seen a movie that's good enough, but this is a new heaven, this is a new earth, where once God fulfills his promises, it will be fully, utterly, and completely satisfying. And it will be right. And it will be the end, which is truly the beginning. But we know where this is going. We know where this is headed. We know where the story will lead. Even if it feels far away, it's still true. And it will be satisfying. And it will be right. And it will be good. How then should we live? Who then should we be? For as they say, God is rarely early. Doesn't work on our schedule. not always exactly when we think things ought to happen. Rarely early. But I tell you, and he promises, God is never, ever, ever